College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jones and Keefe.
Jason Tatum has suffered a ruptured right Achilles tendon. He already underwent successful surgery to repair the tendon today in New York City. Absolutely devastating injury for a player, 27 years old, all-NBA caliber player, year in and year out, entering the prime of his career, and a long rehab awaits. And win or lose, with or without Jason Tatum's injury, I'm told the Celtics were going to look into roster changes this upcoming offseason. And this injury only opens up even more potential possibilities because their payroll is approaching $500 million and no Jason Tatum potentially for over a calendar year. We'll see how that rehab goes. But Jason Tatum ruptured Achilles tendon.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
You ready for a long road to recovery, Keefe?
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't think I have a choice. I think I am ready for that.
Not great.
No, terrible. I mean, it's what we expected after we saw it play out live. We were waiting. We thought we might get the announcement yesterday during the show. Came out a few hours after our show. Already got the surgery done. And now it's just a long wait and see. You know, I mean, that. I think this guy will be back. It's just a matter of, you know, how soon and all that other stuff. But it's a long ways out. But the real harsh reality is this group that won a title, which was maybe going to get broken up anyway, it will never be on the court together again. Like the top five guys, the top six guys, right? If you want to include like Porzingis, Horford, like that group that after all these years, Brad Stevens finally put together, you had them out there on the floor. They win the title last year. They were trying to defend it this year, although that wasn't going well. But they just won't be playing again together. You thought they had like a nice, bright future, or at least a good window. That's up in smoke.
Well, we're going to find out a lot early about Bill Chisholm and what the goals are. Is it just getting your money back? Is it staying competitive in the meantime? Is it remaking the team around Jason Tatum a year plus from now? Because I think that's a safe bet. If you see him next year, it would be in the playoffs, probably at the earliest.
And that would be
unprecedented.
Yeah, right.
It hasn't happened where a player ruptures their Achilles late in the year. Could they be back on the court 12 months from now, 10 months from now? Maybe. It's unprecedented. Durant did it in the playoffs, did not come back the following postseason. He came back a year after that. Klay Thompson did it in the same postseason as Durant, didn't come back the following year in the playoffs. He actually re-injured himself trying to get on the court and missed 2 years coming back from this injury. So it is a scary history with this injury. And the good news is Tatum is on the young-ish side for it.
Right.
I think people have a bit of a mischaracterization that it happens with all older players. It's actually pretty common for guys 28, 29, certainly 30. It's not just guys 35, 36, 38. It happens to players around this age, but he's on the early side, and he's one of the better players this has ever happened to in terms of the caliber of player they've been and what they're capable of when they're healthy, when they're right, if they can ever get it back. So I think that's good news for his recovery, but we'll dig in on this and what the real track record is with this injury, along with all your thoughts tonight about Game 5. Will the Celtics extend their season, extend the series against the New York Knicks? Who needs to step up? What do you do in the lineup? We got into those things a little bit on the show yesterday here on Jones and Keefe. You can weigh in all day long at 617-779-7937. That's your phone and text number. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Follow along and chat twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. And you can watch on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Real quick before we dig in on the Tatum history, how are you feeling in general about the game tonight? Any better than yesterday?
No, same. I think they're going to win tonight. I do. I don't think they win the series. I think they probably lose game 6. The only thing that gives me a little bit of pause, actually, is everybody thinks they're going to win. You know, you and I are both like, yeah, they're going to win.
This
and
is
then
true.
I heard like Wiggy and Courtney and Greg are like, yeah, I think tonight they win. And then they, and I'm like, oh, man.
That's a good
like,
point.
Everybody's too picking
many,
the Celtics
too
to win
many
tonight.
People think it.
And
who's
going
to win it? The Celtics.
I heard,
because there's no other reason why. The Celtics are the balls.
I heard
perfect
Mego,
breakdown.
I heard Mego pick them earlier.
Oh, yeah, so there you go. They're 4.5-point favorites.
Notorious Magic Johnson fan Michael Bivins, I heard, pick the Celtics earlier
yeah.
today.
Okay, so if Bivins is on them, then... I don't know. So that, I guess that's the only reason why I hesitate. But I think it is sort of that perfect storm where you just feel like, wow, the Knicks, they won three games with Tatum. Now Tatum's out. Like, of course they're going to win. It's like, I don't know. That's not always how sports goes. And I think the Celtics, maybe I'm giving them too much credit, but I think they're going to have a little bit of pride. They do have a good team left over after Tatum. Like, you can't say they have a significantly better roster than the Knicks. And then you remove a player, albeit their best player, and then be like, oh, man, this really tilts in the favor of the other way. I think the Knicks right now are at best, you know, even talent-wise, slightly better. And that's also because just the way some of the older guys for the Celtics have been playing recently. But, no, I do think they win tonight. I think they force the game six.
A lot of us in Boston are picking them. On the money line, I'm just looking at total money or percentage of money placed. 80% of the money's on the Knicks.
80%.
So that's good. On the money line. To
well,
cover,
what is even the money line then? Can't be great.
Money line for the Celtics is minus 175.
No, no, 80% is on the Knicks, you said?
Yep. Plus 145.
No. It's minus what for the Knicks money line? Plus 145, you said?
Yeah, it's plus 145 for the Knicks.
So people are taking that. Okay.
The Celtics are favored.
Yeah.
80% on the money line, 70% thinks the Knicks will cover the 4.5. So I don't know. It feels like a lot of people around here are picking the Celtics tonight. Again, we'll get into the lineup and how the Celtics respond. I wonder if the Knicks kind of mail it in. That's kind of where I'm at, where they're like, yeah, we'll just get them at home in game six at Madison Square Garden.
I know Tatum has obviously been at the center of this, but they've gotten big leads in every single game.
Yep.
So they're up 20 in game one and two. They win game three going away. There's never that comeback. Game four, they're up 14. So they've had really good starts. And you could see maybe if they're up big in the second half, maybe this is a game where the Knicks don't have that comeback. Maybe they just say,
we're
good.
Yeah, we're good.
Well, let's go home and we'll win in front of our home crowd. We'll win in front of Timothy Chalamet.
That's a dangerous, dangerous game for them to play.
It is.
But I could see the Knicks playing it, so we'll get into it. Would You Rather Wednesday here on Jones and Keefe. That comes your way a little over an hour from now at 11:30. It's going to be a more somber, I think, Pure Hoops today.
I would imagine.
With Justin Turpin of WEEI. Turp back from New York. He's going to join us at his normal time, high noon. On a Wednesday, we'll do some Pure Hoops. So we'll see what kind of mood Terp is in. I think that was a
can't be great.
It was a devastating trip for all of us. I think when it comes to the Achilles history, and we talked about this yesterday, it is not a good track record for players coming back and being the same player. A lot of guys, well, not a lot, most come back and they continue to play. They might even start for a number of years. But none of them really get back to their ceiling. And I think the way we framed it yesterday was Tatum right now, perennial first team All-NBA guy. Is he ever going to make first team All-NBA again? I mean, I think the safe wager would be no. That doesn't mean he won't. That's not a guarantee that he won't. But I think the safe bet based on the track record of his injury is he was a perennial consensus top five guy year in and year out. The safe bet is he'll never be that again. I think the MVP dream of Tatum being the face of the league and being the MVP, that's gone. That's done. And the Celtics can still compete for championships. He can still come back and be, I think, certainly an all-star player, probably an all-NBA kind of player. But first team, MVP candidate, face of the league, that sort of thing, I think with an injury like this, that's done.
Yeah, there's so much talent in the league. And you see guys like LeBron and Durant and Curry, like they're still all-NBA players. But I think we've bumped them all down. They're not in the top five anymore because Tatum was one of those guys. And so when you have Jokic, who is still like younger than he looks and younger than you think, and like SGA, Edwards, some of these other guys that are going to be on the come up, even Wembanyama, Cooper Flagg, for God's sakes, like when you're talking about, you know, the next time Tatum plays, Cooper Flagg will be going into his second year. Wembanyama will be going into his fourth year. So you're right. He can still be really good. He can still be a perennial all-star. He and Jaylen Brown, I think, could both still be top 20 players in the league, right? I think when he comes back.
Oh, yeah.
I truly believe that. And then that becomes a different conversation. Like, if they're still a really good team and, like, a playoff contender, or a championship contender, I mean, the face of the league conversation is probably still in there somewhere. Because I never thought he was going to be MVP pre-Achilles injury.
Agreed.
I thought, and that's not even an insult. I thought, all right, there's no shame in being the fourth or fifth best player in the NBA year in and year out. And that was sort of where he fit in. He was like an automatic first team all NBA guy, but not really in the MVP conversation. So can he get back to that? I think so. Like, I mean, I'm obviously hopeful. We don't really know, but just comparing him to some of the other guys that have gone through it and how good of a player he already was, I think he can get there again.
So I spent time doing this with the NBA specifically. I already see people texting in football injuries. I'm not sure it's one for one, but if you want to suggest them, go ahead. You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. I think there are three that if you're Tatum, you'd feel pretty good about these players and how they came back from it. And I think on the list, Keith, they're probably the closest to Tatum as a player, like Hall of Fame caliber players. I think
the most recent one is the one that I think you want to really glom onto.
I think all these guys make a lot of sense. So Kevin Durant is probably the one
you're talking
about.
That's exactly who I'm thinking of.
Durant did it at age 30. He returned at age 32. There was talk he would return the following postseason. He did not. So he missed the full season. He did it in the NBA Finals. But he made two All-NBA teams, or has made two All-NBA teams since the injury, four All-Star teams. Prior to that, he had been an MVP and six-time All-NBA first team. But Durant is largely the same player he was pre-injury that he was before.
He's been an
All-Star. Post-injury that he was prior.
Yeah, so he's been an All-Star every year, right? Although not this year. So, but he's also 36. But he was an All-Star every year after he came back. Also of note, his first year back was 2021, so he only played 35 games that year. However, he shot a career-high 45% from three. He still averaged 27 games, 7 boards, 5 assists, so he had a Kevin Durant year. Then the following year, he played in 55 games and was second-team All-NBA.
So, but those numbers right there are what is a little scary for Tatum. Tatum is a guy who plays every night. He missed 10 games this year. He only played 72 regular season games this year, which for him is low. I think the days of him playing 75 games, even 72 games, it's going down. So, you're talking about a guy who is playing probably in the 60s, depending on when he comes back in 2 years, less than that. So, Durant, largely the same player, although, again, a guy who had been an MVP, a guy who was first-team All-NBA, never made it again.
Now, 2 years older, right, when the injury happened. Yep. So there's also that. So he was already towards the back end of his prime. I know we argued about what the prime of people's career is yesterday, but so he was a little bit older. So you're thinking, all right, there might still be more good years left. And if he was an All-Star 5 straight years for Durant, that's obviously a positive sign.
Let's see. Kobe Bryant did it at age 34, returned at 35, made two more All-Star teams, but only played 101 more games. That's all he played for the rest of his career.
Yeah. Did you see the video making the rounds of Kobe when he tore his ACL or tore his Achilles?
No.
So when he tore his Achilles,
did he spin around on the ground and get wheeled off in a wheelchair with his hands in his face? No.
No, he went to the free throw line, made two free throws, and walked off by himself.
Oh, I forgot about that.
The guy's an animal.
Wow.
He got up. He was limping like crazy.
Game-tying free throws.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
So he shot free throws. So he didn't spin around crying, getting wheeled off the floor.
He was like, nobody
more crying.
Nope. He walked to the free throw line, drilled two free throws, and walked off the court.
So if Kobe's an animal, what does that make Tatum? I'm not sure.
It was also funny to watch the video because it wasn't that long ago. Was it 2013 that Kobe tore his Achilles? The shorts were really long still, which I like. That's my style.
Yeah.
I don't like these guys going back to the shorter shorts.
You like and ones down below the knees.
I am a Fab Five shorts type of guy.
I like that. Yeah. So Kobe, just being his idol, came back, made All-Star teams, fine. But again, Kobe was like first-team All-NBA every year before that injury, even up to age 34.
Yep.
Never made, I don't think, All-NBA again. Hmm. Dominique Wilkins, a shocking one. This is back in 1992.
I was like, did they even have medicine back then?
He was 32 years old. He returned 10 months later.
Seriously.
He made two All-NBA teams.
They literally taped his Achilles up.
Okay, so he made two All-NBA teams.
Yeah,
he made two All-Star teams, but like a year plus later, Atlanta's like, we're done with him. He went to the Clippers. He went to the Celtics. He started to bounce around. He came back very good immediately from the injury, but he did enter his bounce around journeyman phase shortly after that.
I wonder how much of that was Achilles, or back then guys just didn't really play super long, and he's playing every game. He's dunking on guys like crazy. I feel like his career probably wasn't going to be super long, like with or without the Achilles injury. But the craziest stat about that, or fact about Dominique Wilkins, is he ruptured his Achilles in January. He was back for the regular season, so whatever they start, October.
Yeah, the next year.
And he averaged 30 again.
One of the best years of his career.
Insane.
So Dominique is a crazy exception to the rule. So those are three, I would say, borderline best-case scenarios. Durant, still very good,
yeah, really
still
good
all
one.
NBA caliber, still scores a bunch of points, but was never the MVP candidate he was prior. Kobe Bryant came back, made all-star teams, wasn't a first-team All-NBA guy anymore. Dominique, one great year, entered the journeyman phase shortly after that. Okay? Those are the best-case scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
You want some worst-case?
No. We should be done here.
Klay Thompson, John Wall, Boogie Cousins.
Yeah.
Klay Thompson, I had this backwards. Somebody corrected me on the text line. He did his ACL first, then his Achilles.
Got it.
But he missed two
straight
years.
He came back too soon, though, from the ACL, I think.
Came back, hurt the Achilles. Klay did it at 28.
Yeah.
Tatum's 27. He returned at age 31. He made five straight All-Star teams prior to his injury. He never made an All-Star team again.
Yeah. But then he started to look more like, remember the doppelganger that would go to the games?
Yeah.
The guy, fake Klay Thompson that was in the crowd? He started to look like that a little bit.
John Wall, 28. Tatum's 27. Returned at age 30. Made five All-Star teams prior to the injury, the 5 years before he got hurt. Never made an All-Star team again. Played 74 more total games.
No,
in his career.
That is a scary one. But he also had, correct me if I'm wrong, a bunch of different injuries. Was
after
it more?
That,
I think so.
He did. He missed another year after. I think he came back for like part of a year, hurt himself again, came back for part of a year, done.
Oh, yeah. He had left heel surgery.
Which is probably related to the Achilles.
I don't know. That might have been, I think it was the other way around.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Still, one led to the other.
So
yeah.
He had five knee surgeries.
Okay. Never came back.
Five knee surgeries.
Boogie Cousins.
A heel surgery and Achilles. But no, add him to the list, but like he had a million stuff.
Boogie Cousins, 27. Tatum's how old again?
He's 28.
27?
27, sorry. Jaylen Brown's 28. We looked this up yesterday.
Boogie came back at 28, played two more years, was a four-time All-Star before the injury, never made it again.
So I would say one thing, and I love Boogie Cousins. So this is not piling on Boogie Cousins
not
at all.
Not in Tatum's level of shape.
No,
no,
not at all. And just the build. I think it's harder for those guys to come back from injuries. That's why a lot of big guys, they get a bad injury, you're kind of done. Whereas Durant, now Durant's built pretty uniquely. Tatum's got more weight on him than Durant does. But I would look at that, like that kind of style of game, like the tall wing type player, as more of an apples to apples.
Okay. We also have Billups on the list. He was old, 35.
Yep.
Only played 41 more games in his career. Elton Brand was 28, made two All-Star teams, never made one again.
Elton Brand had an Achilles.
He was a starter for four more years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, was like a 10-point-a-game guy, never an All-Star caliber player. Rudy Gay did it at age 30, came back age 31, started for six more years.
That's not bad.
I'm sorry, you scratched that. Started 64 games.
Oh, never mind.
In the next 6 years. So had been a starting caliber player, was not. Wes Matthews actually handled it well. Age 28, full-time starter for five more years. LaPhonso Ellis, 27, same age as Tatum, only a starter for two more years. So here's the thing, because the text line's already saying, you guys realize that he's supposed to make a full recovery.
Well, all those other guys were, too.
I mean, every single press release ever when a guy has a surgery says they're going to make a full recovery.
Yeah, you rarely get that. We had a lot of issues in here. We dropped an instrument in there. We sewed them up. We forgot something. We had Junior Mints inside them. We got to reopen them.
So everyone's supposed to make a full recovery. And let me just tell you, even the best case scenarios on this list, none of them were the same player when they came back. Durant, largely, he's the closest thing. None of them were the same guy. None of them. Not one on that list I just gave you.
I think a fair way to look at it is now we're so used to guys, let's say in football, blowing out their ACL, being out for 9-10 months, coming back, not missing a beat. We're used to baseball players getting Tommy John, being out for a season, coming back, maybe even throw harder, like maybe even better. Like those two surgeries have gotten to a point where, yeah, it sucks. You're probably going to miss a season, but you're going to be back and you're going to be fine. The Achilles one is still up in the air. It's as bad an injury as you can probably get because all those guys came back. None of those guys had the surgery and were like, well, that's my basketball career. But only a couple of them were close.
Wall and Billups were close.
But Wall, I think Wall, I would put a little bit of an asterisk because you could say the five knee surgeries and the heel surgery also.
It was six total surgeries for John Wall.
Kobe, dude, like he's constantly surgery.
Kobe was close.
Kobe, yeah, yeah. But so yeah, this is a scary one. Like, and that's why I don't want anybody, like, you heard about, well, if it's 9-10 months, it's May, could he be back for the playoffs next year? Like, I wouldn't even mess around with that. And I know that'll probably be the talk. Let's say that the team is decent.
They're the 5 seed next year, and Tatum's
on the way.
We see workouts of Tatum. Yeah, he won't.
I wouldn't.
He won't.
I'd save it.
I'm telling you, he won't. Durant didn't.
No, and he
Klay Thompson didn't. Yeah. He won't come back and play in the postseason next year from this injury. He won't. So that's a big picture discussion for the Celtics. What do they do around this injury? And what does Tatum look like when he comes back? He will come back. What's he going to look like? If you go through all these specific cases, none of those guys were the same player when they came back. Some a slight grade down, like Durant, Dominique, A lot of guys were never the same. If you were an all-star player before, a lot of guys weren't all-star players after. If you were first-team All-NBA before, you never made it again. No one on this list has been first-team after the injury. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We'll discuss the latest on Jason Tatum. Expected, but horrible news yesterday. How do the Celtics respond to it tonight when they take on the Knicks in Game 5 at TD Garden? What do we expect out of Jaylen Brown? Does he live up to his contract? We'll get to that.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But as we get to Game 5, I have to say, I'm going to take the Celtics because I'm going to take them for this reason. Knicks are going to win the series. But, man, this is why you got the bag, Jaylen Brown.
Ooh.
This is your $300 million moment. And this time demands that moment for you to lead this team. You got in foul trouble yesterday. He made some fouls that were questionable. Yes. There were times where even listening to Al Horford postgame said, we lost our leader.
Yes.
Not one of our leaders, our leader. I think this is a moment in time for Jaylen Brown, who has not had a great series by any means of his standards, to come out and put his team on his back, considering the game that the Knicks just played, it's a moment in time for Jaylen Brown to lead this team.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was Jason Williams discussing Jaylen Brown needing to step up.
Every time I hear Jay Williams, I think of when he was on that show and he was going on and on about the Celtics. They hired Ime Udoka, and he's like, finally, franchise hiring their first black head coach. And I was like, wait, what?
Like, you need to get my larynx.
Yeah, I'm like, you might want to watch Celtic City.
Yeah.
You might want to give that a rip.
You really don't even need to go all the way back to Bill Russell.
The guy before Brad Stevens.
Yeah,
even.
If you just kind of...
You were in the league against Doc Rivers.
You were literally playing against Doc Rivers coaching the Celtics.
It was a bizarre take at the time.
You think
but
you would want to
But this one I agree with. This is Jaylen Brown time.
So... I was going back and looking at the game. We spent a lot of time highlighting this yesterday. Celtics are 9-2 without Tatum this year. They've won the only playoff game he ever missed, and I'd expect them to miss more of them, as we detailed earlier, going through all the specific cases. Best case scenario is Tatum comes back a year plus from now, and he's Kevin Durant, who went from being an MVP candidate and first-team All-NBA to being still an All-NBA player and an All-Star, but just not quite the same player. I think that's a best-case scenario coming back from the Achilles, and there's some really scary ones. Boogie Cousins, John Wall, Klay Thompson, on and on down the list. But I went back and looked at that Orlando game, too. Brown came out and had 12 points in the first quarter. I remembered him getting to the free throw line more than he did. He only took two free throws in the opening quarter against Orlando. 4 out of 7 shooting, scored the first bucket. It was a 3 that he hit early. He scored their second bucket, and he came out and set the tone early. I would expect him to come out, and his mission is to get Towns, Brunson, or both in early foul trouble. That's the mission tonight. Hunt the matchup.
Yeah.
Take him to the basket. Bowl him over. Bully ball. And I do think Jaylen is better at doing that consistently than Tatum. Tatum has the frame for it.
Yeah.
I don't think Tatum always wants to do it. If that's Jaylen's mission tonight, I think the Celtics can come out. I expect them to come out and win the game.
I just wonder, you know, his overall mentality. Is he going to try to do too much, and is he capable of doing that? And so I know he had a great game, too, without Tatum, but it's a much different atmosphere when you are playing Orlando and you are already up 1-0 than when you're facing elimination against the Knicks.
And there's no real downside against Orlando, because even if you miss, they're not going to score at the other end.
You're good.
The Knicks
we'll
will
get
make,
it back.
The Knicks will make you pay.
We'll get it back. Yeah, the Knicks will score. We've seen it. And so I just wonder, and we know over the years, even when he's on his way to winning finals MVP, there are times, maybe not the best ball handler, maybe not the best passer out there. And so does he just try to do too much? And is that where some of the turnovers come in or things like that? Because he has had some unbelievable games in his career. A lot of them have been with Tatum on the floor as well. So because he can't just say, like, I have to do it. Like, Tatum's gone, I have to do it. Because that's also not giving enough credit to the other guys that they have. Like, they have other guys. Like, Derek White can score. You know, really only on threes, but he can do that. Peyton Pritchard can. I don't know about the Holiday Horford Porzingis trio. Like, you're going to need at least one of those guys to get going. But yeah, Jaylen Brown, someone who has spoke about, you know, giving up to be, you know, for team success and how Tatum's the guy and all this stuff. Like, all right, here's an opportunity to really have everybody looking at you, and if you pull out even just this game, he's going to get a tremendous amount of credit.
Who do you start tonight? I heard Wiggy and Greg and everybody talking about this, so I think we're
going
to go with the same lineup.
I'm
What's your starting five?
I would go Peyton Pritchard into the starting lineup with Drew Holiday, Derek White, Jalen Brown, very small, and Kristaps Porzingis, because I'm with Tim Welsh when he was on our show before. Even if you have a bit of a minutes restriction, I don't know why you don't start him. He's always a starter on this team. So I would keep that the same. Horford is usually off the bench unless somebody is banged up or whatever. Then they usually toss him in there. But maybe he'd be a little bit more comfortable coming off the bench because he has not played particularly well in this series. So I would change it up a little bit. They haven't had problems with starts. However, they've had Tatum for the first four games of the series. So I would insert sort of that offensive spark in Peyton Pritchard.
So same exact lineup. Okay. I do the exact same thing. Start Pritchard, and I get Porzingis back in there. Horford's off the bench. I don't know what you're doing off the bench tonight. I'd probably lean mostly on those six guys. Is Hauser back? If he is, he can play.
Horford, Hauser, and then I guess, you know,
maybe Cornette some minutes.
Yeah, Cornette. I mean, when Mitchell Robinson's out there, maybe just to get in his way and hopefully he doesn't get offensive rebounds, put Cornette out there.
But, you know, you're going to need – Drew Holiday's been bad. And maybe he has an excuse, but yeah. Drew Holiday outside of game one has been
game
bad.
One, he was good, right?
Derek White needs to shoot something other than three-pointers. Mm-hmm. Jalen Brown needs to not turn it over a million times. And you need something out of Porzingis. And I think all of those are reasonable, but you're going to need a couple of those things to go right in the game tonight. But I'm with you. I do the exact same lineup. I think when Brunson's out there, Pritchard can be out there. That's not a terrible matchup for Pritchard. Brunson's bigger and more stout than Pritchard is, but I think that's a comparable matchup. That's a decent match for him. And I get Porzingis back out there, and I try to get him going early as well. Jalen needs to get going. I think Jalen will start on time. He did it again. The only example we have when Tatum missed a playoff game. I would try to get Porzingis going early too. And maybe you can't. He's been so bad really all postseason. But
I have the least confidence in him. Far and away the least confidence.
I'll be honest, I don't have much in Drew. But I'd like to be
fair,
wrong about that.
Fair, but at least we saw it in game one, right? You got to go back to
the Orlando series.
The Orlando series for Porzingis. And
even,
not only that.
Even his best game, he didn't shoot great in that game. He had 20 and 10, but he didn't shoot great.
No. I'm telling you, a long ways away from getting sliced open on the forehead, getting stitches, having his WWE moment, and getting the fans all fired up. Now it's, you know, I think, OG Anunoby last game had 20 points for the Knicks. In this series, Porzingis has 20 points. Like, that's not going to get it done.
Dang.
That should be an overwhelming advantage for the
Celtics. But at the same time, like, the Knicks in Game 5 on the road, part of my calculus with the Knicks is I expect them to coast a little bit tonight. Maybe they come out on time, like you
said.
But if the Celtics get up, they might not have the fight in them they've had in these other games because they know they have a home game in Game 6 waiting.
Yeah, win it at home. That happens.
There's no Tate. That happens all the time.
Yeah.
In, you know, all these series, I think. It'll happen in the NHL. It'll happen in MLB. I think it'll happen
in the NBA.
Although
it didn't happen last night with my Cavs.
Cavs came out quick. And they didn't have much response.
No.
So we'll get to them. But I think as much of it is about New York rolling over and saying, we'll just get him at home. I don't necessarily trust Anunoby, Bridges, all those guys to show up tonight. No. They haven't shown up consistently in all these games. They're on the road. I don't expect all those guys to show up.
You know, it's funny, though, with Jalen Brown, just this is so much different than the Orlando series, too. Not only because of what's at stake, but your mindset now, if you're Brown, and I know you don't want to think too far ahead, but you're the guy for the foreseeable future. This isn't like, oh, we got Tatum back in game six. Nope, you don't. You don't have him back next season. Like, so now he's also got to be thinking a little bit, all right, so this is the start of what could be what this group looks like. We know they're going to probably peel off another contract or two, but like, I'm going to be the guy. I'm going to be the attention from the other team tonight, hopefully on Friday, hopefully much longer, and then all of next season. Like, I'm going to have this same role.
Part of me thinks he relishes that. We're going to find out.
I think so, too.
I think he's been waiting for it. So
I'll tell you my example. The 93 Bulls, they win 57 games in the regular season, and then they win the title, and then Michael Jordan decides to play baseball. There's nothing else going on.
No,
he just wanted to play the great game of baseball.
Just, you know, his dad liked baseball, so he decided to play baseball.
The next year, they basically bring back that team minus Jordan. They win 55 games in the regular season. Scottie Pippen leads the team in like every category. They sweep the Cavs in the first round. They play the Knicks, the Patrick Ewing Knicks, who end up going to the finals. They lose
seven
games.
Yeah.
And so for the people that are already, and I know this is a separate conversation, but for the people that are like getting the lottery, tank, trade for picks, it's like, what about that? You think the Bulls, after Jordan left, thought they really had much of a chance?
Seriously.
And they were pretty damn competitive.
I mean, 50 games in, like, the four seed, I think, is a reasonable goal for them next year without Tatum. They still have enough talent to do that. They have enough talent to win tonight, for sure. So you guys can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. Johnny's in Brooklyn. Hello, Johnny.
What's up, guys? Thanks so much for taking my call. And I completely agree. I think the calls for them to trade all their pieces and go young really don't make a lot of sense when you're going to try to integrate that with Tatum when he comes back. I just want to say about Porzingis, I mean, reminiscent of Sean Bradley in Space Jam, I've never seen anything like it, where a guy just goes from being great to being absolutely terrible.
They took his powers.
Like the aliens took
sure
his...
Did. Yeah, I think
they
you're
They took
right.
his powers. Yeah. But, you know, before Tatum got hurt, the Celtics were about to go down 3-1, and I really think Missoula has had a brutal, brutal series. Their offensive approach is just terrible. I mean, I guess things would definitely be different with a healthy Porzingis, but man, I don't know. So, what do you guys think? Is it more about the injuries or is it the approach?
Thanks, it's not about the injuries.
No, I think it's the players first. I think
Me too.
I think Missoula has been bad. I think he's been outcoached. You thought at least you're going to get a wash.
Yeah.
Or advantage Missoula, and I think he's been terrible, but it's also a coach in the NBA, so like, how much credit and or how much blame can you really hand out?
I didn't love Missoula specifically in, what was it,
Game two,
thank you, where he should have called a timeout to bail out Tatum. The Hakimich stuff was super annoying. Mm-hmm. We're about to find out. I mean, if their offensive approach improves without Tatum, you're going to know that Tatum was a big problem in this series. Tatum was great in Game 4. I think a big reason they're down is Tatum. He was horrendous in the fourth quarter of Game 1 and 2. So we're about to find out. The beauty of this injury, if there is a silver lining, is we're about to find out. Was it Tatum? Is it Missoula? A lot of people want to blame Missoula. Let's find out. If their offensive approach improves without Tatum, we're going to have some idea. Mm-hmm. Tatum was a big factor in why they were down, which is my suspicion. So you can jump in. 617-779-7937. Keith mentioned the Cavs are out.
Oh, man.
Which it does really make you wonder what could have been with a wide-open Eastern Conference. We'll get to that next.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You don't have to foul here, but you have got to come up with a stop.
Five to shoot. Turner, he puts it down.
And the Indiana Pacers are heading back to the conference final.
The Indiana Pacers, this resurgent, ascending franchise, has punched their ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals for a second straight year.
The shame of all of it for the Celtics is that you have Jason Tatum out now, down 3-1, and you would have been down 3-1 even with a healthy Tatum. I think Tatum's a big factor in why you're down in the series. We'll see if any of that gets fixed tonight in Game 5. We now know it's the Pacers waiting for you in the Eastern Conference Finals if you get there. And that just feels like such a giant missed opportunity, Keith. The Pacers again.
Yep.
And maybe I'm guilty of underestimating the Pacers. You just heard their back-to-back years in the Eastern Conference Final. But we were worried about Cleveland. We're worried about some of the teams out West. I mean, I was never once worried about Indiana. And now that's what would separate you from the NBA Finals next round if you get there. That's just such a missed opportunity.
No, it is, to the point where you feel like, you know, and maybe we underestimated the Knicks. And so maybe the same thing would apply to the Pacers. But if the Celtics were up 3-1, then Tatum got hurt, and they found a way to win one game against the Knicks, all they needed was one to move on to the next round, I think I'd take the Celtics without Tatum over the Pacers.
To beat the Pacers.
I'd probably be wrong.
Right.
But I think I would. But like
the deficit's so drastic, 3-1 is so drastic.
Yeah, because I like Cleveland all year, and we saw those games in the regular season. Cleveland played the Celtics really, really tough. They have the best closer in that series. They have a couple of big guys that could cause problems. I like Darius Garland more than you do, but they got some guys on that team. Like, that would have been a hard fought out series. That might have been one where even Porzingis' health and his contribution would be a big factor. And you don't even have to face them. It looked like a Cavs Celtics collision course all year long.
Yeah,
and now it's going to be Pacers-Knicks? Like, this is 1995?
Is there any chance the Pacers are just legit and we're sleeping on them?
Yes.
I mean, there is. I don't feel that way, but there's a chance the Pacers, I don't appreciate them. I don't respect it. I don't get it. So, I look at them and I go, Siakam's good.
I agree.
Halliburton's good.
See, I think Halliburton's better than good. I think Halliburton's like, I think great. He's all, yeah, I mean, if you think everybody who's all NBA is great, I guess it depends on what your barometer is. I think he's going to be all NBA, maybe second or third team, but still, he's all NBA player.
Halliburton or Jaylen Brown?
Oh, Halliburton. I think Halliburton's better. Yeah.
Okay, but I'm just saying, at least at best, that's a coin toss, right?
But Brown, to me, like we were joking about it. Remember we did this because he was trying to like play in the number of games to qualify. Me and Terp both had him on like the fourth team. If there was a fourth team. And, I mean, they're similar. It's like Brunson, Halliburton, Brown.
Oh, I think they're all.
Everybody might have a different.
I agree.
Order.
I think they're all very similar. But I would take Brunson over Jaylen Brown. I don't think I'd take Halliburton over.
But
Jaylen.
As a Celtics fan, it's funny to say, all right, the first team to the Eastern Conference Finals starts Aaron Nesmith. But like he's good. Like he's actually pretty good. Like I can shoot. But obviously couldn't really get on the court here. It was a non-factor here. Nobody was sad when he got traded away. But how about that? Was that Danny Ainge's last draft or second to last draft where he got Aaron Nesmith and Peyton Pritchard at 14 and 26?
After years of whiffing on picks. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. After years of J.R. Giddens and Juwan Johnson and all these scrubs. I mean, that is pretty good job. 14 and 26 to get two players like that.
Couple of texts. Guys, the Pacers have the best record in the NBA since January. They're legit. Is that true?
I mean, if it's on the text line.
Okay.
No, the Pacers are, like, they're a little bit different. They're very balanced. All five guys are going to score. Like a double figures. Miles Turner, solid. Siakam, like you said, is good.
You mentioned this the other day, too.
Playoff Nimhard.
That's true. They're a well-coached team.
And they're coached up,
This might be one of the teams where, you know, you see the coaching difference. If you think Mazzulla holds the Celtics back, and a lot of you do, and I don't think he's a net positive by any means.
Yeah.
But I think he's more neutral than anything. Then Carlisle's the guy who might get Carlisle's more good. Out of the team.
They have no depth, but, I mean, their starting lineup is good. And those guys play well together. And it's hard to say, all right, let's take this guy out. Or if we can limit, you know, if we can limit Brunson, we can be like, what are you doing? Halliburton had a big scoring night last night, but he's not always doing that. No. Like, they're very, very balanced.
If the Celtics get there, I still think they can beat that team. I don't think that's a daunting hurdle for them. You got to win three straight against New York. But waiting for you is the Indiana Pacers. And I think you can beat that team.
I'm trying to think who they're like. Like, what this Pacers team, you know, from the last 20 years. Is there a team that was, like, pesky? You always were wondering how, and yet they had, like, a lot of playoff success.
The Heat? The Butler Heat.
Honestly, they might be a little bit good one, Nick.
That is a really good one.
Good one. They might be
the
like
Heat,
that.
The Heat got
good
the coach, two NBA finals.
Good coach, one really good player and like decent depth.
Yeah.
Or not depth, but like a decent five they can put on the floor. Yeah, maybe.
That's a decent comp.
But you never truly felt they were a title contender. I never thought Jimmy Butler was going to win the title with the Heat. I never thought that. I don't think the Pacers are going to win the title.
No.
But if it's Pacers, T-Wolves in the NBA finals.
Yeah. I don't think the Pacers are going to beat New York. I don't think they would beat the Celtics. And
I think the Pacers might beat New York.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we may have to talk about that coming up.
But this is also me just being an idiot about New York. I've picked against New York every series. They're going to literally win the title. I don't think so, guys.
I'm an idiot about the Pacers. Yeah. Let's go to the phone. 617-779-7937. Sorja is in Mansfield. Hello, Sorja.
Jones and Keith, how are we today?
Very good.
Prayers up for JT, my man. And really quick here, I would just love to see the guys, you know, just rally and get the W tonight. It would be really tough to, like, you know, lose tonight. And I think, Keith, the comparison to the Bulls is so interesting because this really feels like the last dance for the Celtics in the sense that, like, we know the roster is going to be totally different next year. So I'm saying, let's get the W tonight at the Real Garden, and let's go for three straight. Why not?
Okay. You got to win one. You got to get that first one out of the way.
The Bulls did, with their last dance, still have Michael Jordan. I mean, that was a useful piece.
I was talking more about the 93 to 94. Yeah. Like, life without Jordan wasn't, hey, let's tank and try to get a good pick.
Right.
You're
talking about the season in between.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They weren't like, let's tank and try to get Joe Smith. They went out there and played.
Yeah.
And they made it. They game seven against the Knicks in the second round without Jordan. Pretty good.
Again, you said those Bulls won 55 games. That sounds a little high.
Yeah.
Without Jordan that year.
Yeah. They did get Kukoc, so they did add a good player, but like it was all Pippen.
But 50 games in like the 4 or the 5 seed, and you win around next year, I think that's reasonable without Jason Tatum.
And you get the point of that story, too, which I didn't really land the plane on this, is 2 years later, I guess a year and a half later, you get Jordan back. So you don't want to blow it up and then be like, hey, Tatum's back. Now what? No, no, keep it as close to together as you can.
I agree with that.
And then you're all right, 2 years from now.
The people who are like, trade Jalen.
Like, what the hell?
See what you get out of Jalen next year.
Yep.
And then 2 years from now, you still have Tatum and Brown. Yep. Why would you want to break that up? I really don't get that. 617-779-7937. I'll be disappointed if they don't win tonight.
Same.
I said that all day yesterday. I'll repeat it. They should win tonight and put pressure on New York. If they don't do that, I'll think a lot less of them. And if they just pack it in because their best player got hurt when they can still match New York talent for talent, that would disappoint me. And I think more of the team than I think a lot of you out there do. Everybody all upset with me saying I think they can win without Tatum. I think a lot more highly of them than apparently a lot of you do. 617-779-7937. It's a Would You Rather Wednesday on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to some Would You Rathers about a half an hour from now at 11:30. Terp is going to join us at high noon for some very somber and yet pure hoops.
The saddest yet purest of hoops.
So stay tuned for that at high noon. Let's get to the Red Sox. They've done it again, Keefe.
Oh, my God.
They
these
have
guys.
Done it again. Let's do it next.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.